Thank you for visiting our website today. You are listening to one of our Sunday sermons from Grace City Church.
So this morning, Pastor Kara is in Singapore preaching. Pastor Pauline is in Nola Mara. Pastor Jim is in the Chinese service, and you are blessed to have me. You know, we have been talking about live out our hope. And last Sunday, Pastor Kara preached on the principle of hope, part one. Today, I'm going to do part two, the principle of hope. Let me tell you a story. This is a true story. It was the year 1937, and this small island of China, which is called Hainan Island. In this small island, people were poor, people were struggling. And in 1937, war broke out in China. That is when the Japanese start to invade China. And in the midst of lack, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of being poor, there were five girls that make an agreement. They were friends. And these five girls make this agreement that on a certain day, a certain time, they will come together to a certain place. And each one of them will bring a white cloth. And on that day, at that time, at that place, five of them were going to commit suicide. They were going to hang themselves. It looked as if these five girls was living in the time where hopelessness crept into their life. All of these five girls, four of them were actually very, very poor. One of them, the father, have a business, so she can't be so poor. So one of the girls just asked herself, if we are poor and the other girl is rich, why does she want to end her life? So this girl who asked herself this question, asked herself, is there hope for me? As a teenager, she was engaged. She was engaged. But the person that she was engaged to left to go to Singapore. And in those years, people go to Singapore from China hoping for a better future. So she looked at herself. I've agreed with these five girls, with these four other girls, that on that day, we will commit suicide, we will hang ourselves. And the place that they were going to hang themselves is a forest in which is known for people going there just to commit suicide. So she asked herself this question. I'm engaged. Maybe he will come back for me. I still got a little bit of hope. Maybe he will bring me to Singapore and start a life. I still got hope. So out of that five girls, this young lady that was engaged, hoping that their fiancé will come, take her to Singapore, and maybe there is a future for her. The other girl back out. Maybe she was afraid. The other three, on that given day, they each took a white cloth and went to the forest, that notorious place, and they take their life. People need hope. The one who waited for their fiancé came to Singapore, and then she have four boys and three girls, built a family. How do I know this story is true? Because I married the second daughter. You see, people need hope. But sometimes, hope is deferred. It looks as if it is coming and coming and coming, but still not yet. You wait for it day and night, and night and day. You wait for it every day, every week, every month, every year, and you're still waiting for it. You ask yourself, would it come? When would it come? How would it come? When we talk about living out our hope, we cannot escape this simple biblical truth recorded in the Bible. A very simple verse, but yet it is so real. The verse that says in Proverbs 13 verse 12, hope deferred make the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. This is one verse that we will want to avoid, but it's one verse that I would like to tackle with you today. The Message Bible put it this way: continuous disappointment leaves you heart sick, but a sudden good break can turn your life round. Are you heart sick this morning? Do you need a sudden good break? Why don't we pray? Father, we commit ourselves to you this morning and ask for your word to speak powerfully into our hearts. We thank you, Lord, that in you there is hope. So we trust you as our hope. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Such a simple verse, but it's the reality of life. Defer hope. Who has never been there? Some of you has been there, and you have not recovered from defer hope. Some of you are still struggling with defer hope. Hope that is so near, and yet so far. Hope that is within your reach, but you never seem to have it. How true and how real is this verse, this heartbreaking verse. The Bible says, when it happens, your heart is sick. Hope defer, hope delay, hope prolong, and hope extended. When will it come? How will it come? Make the heart sick. When the Bible uses the word make the heart sick, it means that when hope is keep on deferring, you have a wounded heart. It means this. The picture of a woman that is in travail. You see, when a woman is in travail, it's time for the baby to come out. But this picture is a woman that is in travail. She is in pain. She is shouting. She is breathing. She is doing all the pushing. But there is no sign of the baby head. It is what it means by hope defer. By a desire, a longing, a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. When your hope comes to pass, when your dream comes to pass, when your desire and longing come to pass, the Bible tells us very clearly, fulfilled desire bring life and joy. I can't help myself when I sit down to prepare this message in my room up there. I could not help myself as I continue to think about my own life. You know, the longer you are, the older you are, you have hope for yourself, you have hope for your family, for your children, and for me, I have hope for the church. But the older you are, you see that your hope is deferred. I could not help myself as I sit there and prepare this message and I burst into tears because this is a real human pain, a real human experience. Deferred hope is part of our human experience. Whether you are a believer or you are unbeliever, you will experience deferred hope. There is no escape from deferred hope. But for a believer, deferred hope is not No, no, no answer. It is not hope denied. It is not lost hope or no hope for a believer. For a believer, deferred hope is hope postponed. Hope delayed, hope suspended or withheld for until a certain time for hope to be fulfilled. Deferred hope is to wait, is to tarry, is at the back, but is coming closer and closer to the front. It is last, but the race is not yet finished. This is how you should see hope defer. Think of this with me. The first hope, the hope of the promised redemption, the first coming of Jesus Christ, took 63 generations to fulfill, from Adam to Christ. 63 generations before that hope of redemption, the promise of Christ's coming was fulfilled. 62 generations of hope deferment, but it was hope in the making. It was hope in the pipeline, and in the fullness of time, in God's appointed time, the hope of redemption, Christ came into the world. In Luke chapter 2, the Bible talks about an old man named Simeon. He was promised that he would not die till he saw the Messiah. We do not know when the promise was made to him by the Holy Spirit, but year after year, he waited. His hair turned gray, his teeth falling down, his eyesight failing, his hearing failing, his energy failing. I'm sure he would have asked himself, have I heard wrongly? Did I make a mistake? You see, when our hope is deferred, we question whether God is going to be there for us. We question about ourselves. But this man never questioned anything negatively. In fact, he trusts God and he eagerly and patiently waited for the promised hope. One day, at God's appointed time, his deferred hope became a reality. He saw and carried baby Jesus and praised God. That's what the Bible says. A desire fulfilled is a tree of life. I pray for you that today your deferred hope will become a reality and life and joy will fill your heart. But when hope is deferred, you will experience what Abraham and Sarah experienced. You will experience three negative emotions that I want to look with you today and then help you to have a positive emotion when your hope is deferred. These three negative emotions is recorded in Genesis chapter 16, verse 1 to verse 6. Turn to your Bible. In Genesis chapter 16, verse 1 to verse 6. Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, had not been able to bear children for him, but she has an Egyptian servant named Hagar. So Sarah said to Abraham, "The Lord has prevented me from having children. Go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her." And Abraham agreed with Sarah's proposal. But Sarah, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian servant, and gave her to Abraham as a wife. This happened 10 years after Abraham had settled in the land of Canaan. Verse 4. So Abraham had sexual relationship with Hagar, and she became pregnant. And when Hagar knew she was pregnant, she began to treat her mistress, Sarah, with contempt. Then Sarah said to Abraham, "This is all your fault. I put my servant into your arm, but now she is pregnant, she treats me with contempt. The Lord will show who is wrong, you or me." Abraham replied, "Look, she is your servant, so deal with her as you see fit." Then Sarah treated Hagar so harshly that she finally ran away. God has promised Abraham that he would have a seed, and that when the seed comes, he will become a father of a great nation. But this promise did not happen immediately. It took years, not 5, 10, but 25 years before it happened. You know, one thing about God, when He make you a promise, you do not know His time frame, because time is in the hand of God. He is eternal. We are not eternal. So when God promised Abraham, you'll be a father, you will have a seed, Abraham and Sarah has no idea about the time frame. But they were just waiting. The day of waiting was the day of hope deferment. This is why the Bible says that if you want to have a continuous hope in God and believe in God, the just shall live by what? By faith, not by sight. So Abraham and Sarah, they struggle. You know, it started in Genesis chapter 12 when Abraham was 75 years old and God promised him a seed, and that through his seed, he will become a father of a great nation. So Abraham, with this promise, with this hope, he packed his bag and he left for Canaan. But the thing about Abraham, when he arrived to Canaan, there was what? There was a famine. He didn't expect a famine. You know, one of us, and everyone else sitting here, we think that when God give us a promise, when God give us something to hope for, that it will come so easily. When a famine comes, when Abraham went to Canaan, he was shocked. What he did? He packed again, and then he traveled to Egypt. What did Abraham experience? Not fulfill hope, but defer hope. Year passed. He waited and waited. Year passed. In Genesis chapter 15, God spoke to Abraham again and assured him, this is what I promise you. This is the promised hope that I have for you. You will have a seed. After he experienced hope deferment, it never happened, God. It's so long. He said to God, God, you know what? I know it's going to happen. It's not going to happen through me. Not through my body, but I have a servant, a good servant. Maybe it will happen through my servant. Then when we come to Genesis chapter 16, Abraham had lived 10 years at Canaan. He lived in Canaan 10 years, looking for this hope of promise, the promise seed to be fulfilled. So that when it is fulfilled, his heart will be glad. He will be so happy. Think of this. Every day he looked at his wife. Let me see. Is there any sign? No sign. Is there any morning sickness? No morning sickness. Have you put on weight? No, nothing has happened. And so every year it was hope deferment. And when hope deferment is not just wait for a while, sometimes the waiting seems like eternity. Have you ever waited for God and said, God, why it takes so long? It's like eternity. When God, where are you, God? This story about Abraham is a story that we can all relate to. You will discover one thing. When you are in a hurry, God is not in a hurry. Like Sarah and Abraham, all this deferment made them wonder, God, have you forgotten me? How many of you have felt that way before? God, have you forgotten me? Lord, I'm staying in the same address. All I get every day is bills to pay. No letter from you. I'm having the same phone number. You don't call God. And so they have this negative emotion. And you will have this negative emotion. These three negative emotions will sing into your heart and into your mind when the hope that you have in God, in His promises, does not come the time that you want it to come. So Sarah and Abraham experience these three negative emotions. When your hope is deferred, your prayer is deferred, your promise is deferred, you will struggle with these three negative emotions. The first one, they felt, God, you are not doing anything. God, you're not doing anything, oh God. Have you ever felt that way before? How many of you have felt that way? Put up your hand if you have felt that way. Come on. Oh God, you are not doing anything, oh God. That's the first negative emotion that we all will face. Verse 1 tells us, and Sarah, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children. I mean, God, I just asked you for only one child. You didn't give it to me. And the Bible recorded, and Sarah bore him no children. Lord, I'm only looking for one, not for a dozen. You are fine about life. Some who wants children cannot get. Some who, I don't know why they have so many. Have you ever felt that in life before? And this is how the Bible says, you know, that after 10 years, still no children, still no child. One of the most treasured possessions in ancient time was to have an heir, a son or a daughter to carry on the family name. You know, and so this is not happening at all. So who do they bring? Who you think they bring? They bring God. They bring God. I don't know. When I think about mothers, wives who want to have children and don't have children, actually I feel for them. I feel for them. You remember Samuel's mother, Hannah? She wanted to have a child and she could not have. She went to the temple and she was so stricken with sadness. Even Eli the priest thought that he was drunk. She was drunk. Even the husband said to her, "Hey, come on, I'm better than 7 sons or 10 sons. She still said, "I just want a child." I tell you, I feel for a woman who cannot have children. You know, who do you feel for? You feel for Hannah or the husband? Who do you feel for? No. You should feel for the husband. I tell you, a woman that wants to have a child and cannot have a child can drive the husband crazy. I tell you a true story. My daughter wants to have a child. She was married for a few years and she cannot have. And I'm telling you, she prays and she becomes so. And worst of all, her sister-in-law stayed in their house in Sydney for 6 months before they moved back to Malaysia. And she has children. When you don't have, you have somebody staying in your house with children, it's not easy. You know. And so she was always on. I was praying for him. So one day I told her, "Hey, you come to Perth for holiday. Firstly, to give the poor husband a break. Secondly, to come here, maybe I can just speak to her and talk to her." And so she came to Perth. She came to Perth and we were in King Park. We were talking and trying to encourage her. "No, you've got to trust God. God, you know, in His time." These are all things that we like to say. They are all true things, but when a person has hope deferment, a lot of things you say which is true, they don't listen. They don't click in it. So we are walking, talking to her, saying, you know, trust the Lord. We have, and I tell you, you cannot believe, while we were walking in King Park, inside the King Park area, in the bushes there, there was a big rock at the side while we were walking. And on top of the big rock was a baby choo-choo. You know the baby choo-choo? The baby pacifier. On top of the rock. And I tell you, as I was walking, I mean, this has never happened to me before, to see a baby pacifier on top of the rock. And while we were walking, I saw the baby pacifier. I took the opportunity and said to her, "Hallelujah! It's going to come. You see, this is God's sign for you. It will come. God has put that pacifier on this big rock as a sign that it will be fulfilled." And I tell you, next year it was fulfilled. You see, when it's not happening, what do you think? you are like Abraham and Sarah. God, you are doing nothing. You see, what's the problem? Because Abraham and Sarah was looking at the end result. How many of us are always looking at the end result? We are interested only at the end result. We become end result focused, then become what focused? God focused. We must become God focused, not end result focused. When we become end result focused, we will be disappointed. Because when we become end result focused, it may not happen the way you want it to be happening. And when we become end result focused instead of God focused, we miss the process of what God is doing. Whatever God is doing is a matter of time. That God is working behind the scene. You see, when we become end result focused, everything that God does for you become of no value to you. We forgot the blessing that He gives to us. We forgot the goodness that He gives to us. Because God, I want this. You didn't give it to me. It did not happen to me. So what? This becomes everything to you, that all other things that God has done for you has become of no value to you. Don't become end result focused. Become what focused? Become God focused. And when you are God focused, you will recognize one thing, that God is working behind the scene. God is working behind the scene. And if He is working behind the scene, as what the Bible tells, a sudden good break, amen, that suddenly a good break will come. Suddenly the hope will fulfill. Suddenly the prayer will be answered. Suddenly the promise will come. A sudden good break will turn your life around if you become God focused, not result focused. Can you say amen to that? You see, so when you become result focused, you will say, God, you're not doing anything. That's the first negative emotion. The second negative emotion that you will face is this. God, you don't love me. That's how they felt, Abraham and Sarah. God, you don't love us. This is what Sarah said. The Lord has kept me from having a child. God, this is about you, God. You stopped me. I could have. You didn't want to make it happen. Have you ever felt that way? And God, if you stop it, you didn't make it happen, means what? You don't love me. Do you ever felt that way? But you remember, Mary and Martha sent a note to Jesus and said, look, my brother Lazarus is dying. They were hoping that Jesus will come what? Immediately. Jesus waited for 2 days for the brother to die. And then he said, let's go. This is what Jesus said to the disciple. Jesus said, and I'm glad for your sake I was not there. You are about to be given new ground of believing. Jesus said to the disciple, I did not go immediately. I wait for him to die. I had deferred it for one purpose, that you will be given new ground of believing. That I want you to now to see me who I am. I want you to be able to see me in the dimension of who I am. So Jesus said to the disciple, I have delayed for a purpose, so that you may experience new ground of believing. And I want you to know that when God's delay and hope did not come in your time, God has a purpose. What is His purpose? His purpose is to increase you. His purpose is to make you. His purpose is to increase your love, increase your faith, increase your trust. We are caught in our world, our little world. But God has the big picture, and He works with the big picture. And God wants to break new grounds of faith, new grounds of hope, and new grounds of love in us. And in that, He deferred hope and He delayed hope so that we will be able to know how He is preparing us to be in the place where we can say, I know who I have believed. If Mary and Martha had listened to their feeling, they will miss their miracle. Likewise, no matter how bad things get, no matter how long it takes, you are never outside of God when you hope in Him. Say amen. When you hope in Him, you are never outside of God. No matter how lost you feel or how frustrated you become, God is working to bring about the best for you. Defer hope is part of His working process to bring something good, something significant into your life. But you must believe this. You are loved. You are loved by God. And in His appointed time, He will bring that hope to pass and it will become a reality, and the desire fulfilled is a tree of life. The third emotion that you will feel, God, you are not doing anything. God, you don't love me. The third emotion you will feel, negative emotion, is this. God, you are not willing. So Sarah told Abraham, look, God is not doing anything. Go and sleep with my servant. And these are very dangerous. I have learned in life, when you say I can outside of God, it's dangerous. It becomes self-effort and self-will. Instead of both of them waiting patiently for hope to come to pass, they decided to take matter into their own hand. We all know this from Habakkuk 2 verse 3, chapter 2 verse 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. You remember that? Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 3. For a vision is for an appointed time. The word vision means a preferred future. The word vision means where you are and where you want to be. Vision is same as hope. What is hope? Hope is something you are looking for in the future. Something significant, something good. So the Bible tells us that your hope and your vision is for an appointed time. Say amen to that. That God has appointed a time. Who does the appointment? God does the appointment. Who has to turn up for the appointment? You have to turn up for the appointment. Don't make your own appointment with God. An appointment is a meeting that is already set up. God has an appointment already set up for you. The trouble with God's appointed time, you do not know when is the time. Only He knows. And sometimes He defers the appointment because you are not ready. And He's preparing for you the next appointment. When you try to do it your own way, you suffer consequences. The consequences of bad attitude, the consequences of bad relationship, the consequences of bad decision. In terms of bad attitude, all of a sudden, Hagar got pregnant and she became prideful and she showed contempt to Sarah. You see, when you do your own thing, bad attitude happens. What happened? Sarah became aggressive. Abraham became passive. Hagar became prideful. The consequences of bad relationship. Here, Sarah looked at Abraham. You are responsible. It's because of you. Sarah blamed Abraham. The consequences of bad decision. Sarah, Abraham took Hagar. Our world problem today in the Middle East, in many parts of the world, began when Sarah and Abraham could not take deferred hope. They did it their own way. What they did, our world suffered yesterday, today, and forever. For their impatience. When hope is deferred, do not take matter into your own hand. But remember, God is working. He loves you. He is willing. Don't give up waiting on God. Every deferment has a purpose and God is working to accomplish His purpose in your life. You ask me, Pastor, why does God defer the hope? Why doesn't He make it happen? I can tell you this thing. Sometimes hope is deferred because of God. Most time, hope is deferred because of you. Hello? We think we are waiting for God. Most time, God is waiting for who? Waiting for you. Let me share with you why hope are deferred. Sometimes God deferred to prepare you. Sometimes God deferred to reveal a weakness in you. Sometimes God deferred to strengthen your faith. Sometimes God deferred to purge you of pride. Sometimes God deferred to provide what is best for you and not immediately. And sometimes God deferred to reveal your priority. God, when He deferred your hope, He has a purpose. One man named Joseph, he has his hope deferred for 13 years. What was God doing? God was preparing and waiting for Joseph. Psalm 105 verse 19 tells us, until the time came to fulfill his dream, the Lord tests Joseph's character. Until Joseph's hope was fulfilled, until his hope was fulfilled, for 13 years, God was preparing him. God was making him. And each year, he has kept himself with a clean, sweet, and humble spirit before God and before men. When God defers your hope, God is preparing you for something. Keep yourself clean, sweet, and humble. When the day comes, when the deferred hope of Joseph came into pass, when he was raised up with authority, he was a man under authority. Could you imagine if he has become second in under Pharaoh and he has not settled his emotion of hurt, of disappointment, of anguish? What would he have done with his brother? But yet he could see all the deferment of 13 years, all that he went through. He could see this thing. God has sent me here. God has prepared me because a time of famine will come. And God has sent me here preparing for my family and for you all. That's the power of not looking at the end result, but focusing on who? On God. Your hope will defer until your hope comes. Can I say to you, wait expectantly. Wait confidently. Wait like a woman with a child in her womb, waiting for the birth of the child. And when the due date is due, the child will what? Will come. Not shotgun, not cesarean. I did it my way. But wait. And when you wait, wait and push. Wait and push. Push with what? Push with prayer. Push. Wait until something happens. Never stop hoping when your hope is delayed, when your hope is deferred, when it did not happen in your time frame. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give in. Just keep on hoping. And while you're hoping, keep on what? Pushing. 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 Because in God's time, in due time, in His appointed time, it will come. And for those of us who are sitting here, your heart has become passive. Because you have hoped for something. Something good. But it has not happened yet. You have hoped year after year. And something is dying inside there. May I tell you this morning, It's time for you to hold on afresh to the hope that is in God. The hope that is in His promise. And allow His Holy Spirit to stir something, to quicken, to alive it, the hope that is within you. Defer hope. Make the heart sick. It's terrible to have heart sick. But a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Why don't we pray this morning? No matter what you're hoping for, don't become end result focused. Become God focused. He is the fulfiller of our hope. Our hope in Him, our hope in His promise. This morning, is there a crying in your heart? God, I have waited. It has not happened yet, oh God. I ask you this morning, surrender to Him and say, God, my hope is not in the end result. My hope is in You, oh God. That I want to focus in You, God, and believe that You will bring it to pass. Yes, continuous disappointment leave you heart sick. Lord, disappointment after disappointment. But I'm coming to You today and ask You, God, make a new appointment. I want You to give me a sudden breakthrough, oh God, that suddenly You come. I want You, oh God, to give me new ground in believing. New ground in believing who You are. New ground of faith. New ground of hope. New ground of love. Negative. My feeling of You not doing anything, You not loving me, You not willing. Lord, I cancel those feelings because I will not allow those feelings to cancel my hope, to cancel the promise, to cancel the dream, to cancel the prophetic word spoken over me. But rather, Lord, I will trust in You. That the deferment of hope is because You are preparing the best for me. New ground. This morning, where are you? Has deferred hope taken a toll on you? Zapping your energy, zapping your vitality, zapping your faith. I ask you this morning, just surrender to Him. I say, God, my focus is on You. I'm going to be God focused. While every head is bowed this morning, has deferred hope taken a toll in your life? Put your hand up right now to the Lord and say, God, do something for me, oh God. Do something for me, oh God. I told you that when I prepare this sermon, I break up in tears and cry because I had certain hope that I believe in God for, but it has not happened. I cannot give up. I must keep on praying and pushing. Praying and pushing. Because I believe in God's appointed time. The longer is the delay, the bigger is the result, they will come. Lord, I'm willing. Father, I pray for those hands raised before you this morning. I pray your Holy Spirit will stir their hearts. Again, you give them new faith to believe that all things are possible, that whatever you say will come to pass, O God. I pray, Father, that today the hope that has been deferred, that you're bringing forward, that you're bringing closer into their life, Father, that suddenly you will break forth. You will break forth and grant them the desire of their heart, so their heart may be filled with joy and life. I thank you, Lord, you are doing something. I thank you, God, that you love us, O God. I thank you, God, that you are willing. I cancel all the negative emotion and feelings and thought and replace it with the renewed word of God, that God is able, that God is good. This day, Father, when we leave this room, renew faith, renew hope, renew love in you. I ask this in Jesus' name, that you will bring those hope they are from behind, that you will bring them forward closer and closer to bring it to pass, oh God. That, Father, that the enemy will not stop, will not shortchange your children, that the things that you have promised them, the things that they hope in you, God, will become a reality. I call them forth from behind to come forward, oh God. I ask for them. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you stand up and sing with me?
This is the end of the message. We trust you have been blessed and encouraged from today's sermon. Please contact the church by email or call in with the phone number shown on the website if you need any help or would like further information about the church.